Red Line.
Turkish troops launched a major offensive in northern Syria dubbed Euphrates Shield, which sparked a fresh controversy with the U.S. because of its aim to crush the Kurds, the same rebels that Washington views as its most trusted on-the-ground coalition ally in Syria. This is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, analyzing the most thought-provoking publications of the week. In an article titled, Erdogan Tells U.S., Stop Backing the Kurds, and carried by Depka File, the outlet reports that an all-out Turkish-Kurdish war has boiled over in northern Syria since the Turkish army crossed the border last Wednesday, August 24th, for the avowed aim of fighting the Islamic State and pushing the Syrian Kurdish YPG militia back. Instead of falling back, the Kurds went on the offensive and are taking a hammering. This raging confrontation has stalled the U.S.-led coalition offensive against ISIS and put on indefinite hold any U.S. plans for campaigns to drive the jihadists out of their Syrian and Iraqi capitals of Raqqa and Mosul. The piece then goes on to describe how, since cleansing Jarablus of ISIS, Turkey has thrown large, additional armored and air force into the battle against the 35,000-strong YPG Kurdish fighters. This is no longer just a sizable military raid, as Ankara has claimed, but a full-fledged war operation.
Andrew, I think that what we've seen this week can come as a game changer in the whole Syrian war. And in addition to that, it puts a question mark over what will happen to US-led so-called anti-terrorist coalition in Syria. As you remember, we were discussing last week how Vice President Biden, while on a visit to Ankara, supported the Operation Shield of Euphrates because there was a belief that it will be aiming to crush Daesh. But week after that, it's almost clear, and I don't think we have to put a question mark over whether this is a sword against Kurds. It's a sword against Kurds, and what President Erdogan is doing is not fitting into the strategy of President Obama. So President Obama has found himself in quite a delicate situation because we understand that he's a lame duck. He's just waiting for another administration to step in and probably to try to resolve the issue. But at the same time, he doesn't want to for his policy in Syria to look like a big mess. And what is happening now? Turkey, which is one part of so-called an US-led coalition, is fighting with Kurds, which is another part of that coalition. So there's a fighting between two staunch parts of American coalition. So that's why Americans are saying that please stop fighting. Actually, they're acknowledging they can't control the situation. But look what is the response of Ankara. It's not like that they want to show that they're not in a position to be lectured. And they say that please allow us to do this. So I think that President Erdogan has chosen the right moment for that because it seems that he has found a common language with President Putin. Probably he understands his reasoning, his agenda. We don't see any strong reservation of Russia against this because Russia understands that he has his own war on terror. And in addition to that, well, it looks like if President Erdogan will go ahead with this operation, we can come to a moment when it will be Turkey, but not United States, which would emerge as a leading player in that so-called coalition.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely appears to be the trend, and that's why we're discussing this today. It's definitely the most hot-button issue of the week. So we're going to begin by speaking to our in-studio guest, Mr. Alexei Voskresensky. He's dean of the School of Political Affairs at MGIMO University and editor-in-chief of Comparative Politics magazine. So, you know, Sergey mentioned that this could be a game changer right now as it relates to the war in Syria. So what do you think about that? I mean, how impactful is this Turkish intervention and where do you think it's headed?
It's very important, I think. And I agree with Sergey that it's a turn in the whole game. And I think that actually symbolizes that we must see at what is going on, and especially on this particular operation, which is called in Turkish Firat Kalkani, as actually a part of the big geopolitical game. That's the last chance for Turkey to return to Syria and to Middle East as a regional power. And I think that we discussed, I think, Turkish affairs some time ago in one of our radio talks, and I put forward an idea that Erdogan is quite a strong leader, and he is underestimated by the world media in the last months because of the dramatic events in Turkey. And he found the right point to move to Syria and to show to everybody that Turkey is returning, that Turkey will defend its national interest concerning Turks. And he put Obama definitely in a very difficult situation because, according to the treaty to 1920 between Turkey and Entente, in the future the formation of the independent Kurdistan was proclaimed, but that never happened. And now it's probably clear that though Americans are generally in favor, they will not defend it. And I think that Turkey will be a player, and very important player, in resolving this issue in the near future.
Yeah, what I think is very interesting here is, as Sergei also commented and other analysts have observed, we have a NATO member fighting against a U.S. proxy in a third-party state. I mean, this seems to be a little bit unprecedented.
Absolutely.
So how would you comment on this, and how do you think...
I think that they should look at more pragmatically. I think that the internal parts were fighting in Syria, they are smaller in terms of their interest and in terms of what they are doing comparing to the states and bigger parties and especially powerful states, interests of which are intersected in Syria.
By the way, I think that what is also important that we've seen that a Turkish army is still can be seen as a tool of Turkish foreign policy. You remember initially, days after coup, there was a belief that decomposed, demoralized Turkish army will have no guts, will not have facility, chance to emerge as a sword, as you said, outside of the country, because it will be preoccupied with painful restructuring, it will undergo purges, but this is not the case. We've seen
I agree with Sergei, because I think that Mr. Erdogan, survived through the coup, is actually a clear sign that he's in control, and then he used it very quickly. It's amazingly how quickly he used it to strengthen his control over the army, using foreign policy, regional foreign policy issues.
And the question, of course, is how far will Erdogan go in his operation? Again, there's a belief that for him what is important is to push Kurds to the eastern bank of the river. But again, first thing is that it seems that Kurds are not going to retreat easily. They are tough nuts. And the second thing is that, some experts are saying here that Erdogan is, risking to get into what they call a Syrian trap, because victorious war scenario can no work. And if we see more losses, then it can drag him into a really bloody war with no end.
Well, this is why I think that if we look at it, it's limited, it's comparatively limited, but we do see he's leaving the door open for further intervention. Now, what I'd like to ask you, Mr. Voskresensky, is how influential do you think the Erdogan-Putin meeting was in St. Petersburg? I mean, do you think that Turkey really did give Russia some forewarning about this, and could this have actually been coordinated?
I have no proofs, definitely, but I think Moscow actually agreed that its play against the Kurds and for Kurdistan is actually kind of a, geopolitical game. It's clear, and I think that Erdogan actually gave an agreement from Mr. Putin that he can do this operation.
Well, as we're talking about Turkey and Russia then, how do you think the Syrians truly feel about this? I know that their public statements are one of outrage. They're very upset, but then at the same time, a high-ranking Turkish official did say that Damascus was also informed through Moscow. So do you think the Syrians were also in on this prospective deal that we're talking about?
Returning to what I talk, I mean, my argument is, do you feel that Syrian internal participating forces are playing a very important role? No, I think the role of the big powers is greater, and there are interests, and no one will actually forget its own national interest because of Syria.
Yeah, what I find to be most fascinating...
It's very cynical. It's fascinating, but very cynical.
This is the reality we live in.
Oh, yes.
But what I find to be really fascinating, though, is we look at the Iranian response, and it's been comparatively the most mute, if you ask me. I mean, at the same time, though, many Iranians have died trying to protect Syria and dying at the hands of Turkish-supported, I mean, we can call them terrorists, rebels, what have you. So now, as we are talking about, we're kind of coming up with this theory that there was some organization going on in advance. So Iran probably was in on this as well, if Iran would be silent or comparatively mute, rather.
Yeah, that's right. But let's see what is going. My feeling is that the Syrian thing is going to the end. And now there will be a start of the discussion between different, and actually the meeting between Erdogan and Mr. Putin and between Kerry and, you know, participants is very important, a symbol that there is a new stage of the Syrian development. It would be negotiations of the future of Syria. And that's clear. I think the military operation is going to the end.
Yes, and actually when we speak about negotiations, there is United Nations Security Council resolution, I think it was 2254 from last December, which said that within 18 months, in this case by June 2017, there needs to be a new Syrian constitution and new Syrian elections. So if I understand you correctly, the war in Syria is now transitioning. It's getting to the point of transition from military to political through this diplomacy.
Yes. And returning to what we have discussed, it's clear that Russia and Turkey would be important participant of the future of Syria.
I see. Okay, so in this case, what role do you think Iran could have in any envisioned framework?
Well, let's see. It's not so clear because I think that the interest of Iran is actually in more in defense now in this situation.
Yeah, and with us talking about Iran, I know that President Erdogan has a planned trip to Tehran sometime in the future. The date has yet to be confirmed. And, you know, Iran and Turkey, they've had a very interesting history of relations, to put it like that. But now they also seem to be on the upswing. So what do you make out of the relations between Ankara and Tehran in the framework of the Syrian crisis?
Well, let's see. But it's clear that Russia has a very good relationship with Iran. And actually, China is developing its relationship very intensively. So I do not believe that Iranian interest would be jeopardized. Red Line.
And right now, jumping in the conversation with us just briefly is Mr. Ala Ibrahim. He is a Syrian journalist from Damascus. Hello, Mr. Ibrahim. Thank you for coming on our show. We're just wondering what the Syrian perspective is on all of this, particularly how Syrians are responding to Russia and Iran's very muted criticism of Turkey and the talk that perhaps this intervention might have been pre-planned, judging by the reactions on some of the sides. So what do you think about this, and what is the general Syrian opinion about Turkey's intervention in northern Syria?
First of all, the Syrian government, when the Turks first intervened in Syria, they issued a statement saying that what Turkey wants is one kind of terrorism with another, in reference to what Turkey did when it attacked the city, the border town of Jarablus, and but allowed at the same time other rebel factions like Ahrar al-Sham, a radical group tied to Al-Qaeda, to move in and replace ISIL. But there are many sources that are close to the Syrian government here in Damascus who say that the Syrian government was aware of military operation before it took place. There are many voices here in Damascus that are also close to the government who say that there are some kind of under-the-table cooperation between Syria and Turkey through mediation of Iran and Russia. But we have to bear in mind that Turkey has been the main supporter of rebels and the insurgency in Syria in the past 5 years. And as a result, many Syrians are not favorable to more Turkish intervention in their country. And I'm speaking here about Syrians who are loyalists or supporters of the government of President Bashar al-Assad.
Okay, well, thank you very much for telling our audience about this, Mr. Ibrahim. It's very valuable to know the Syrian perspective during these events. Thank you very much. Just to wrap up our discussion right now, it seems like we do agree that this Turkish intervention is a game changer. It does seem like there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that aren't being made public, such as some types of agreements, games, what have you. But it does look like the situation is transitioning from the military to the political in advance of fulfilling the requirements under UNSC Resolution 2254.
And I think for Americans, this is the moment of truth in their relationship with what was believed their key allies in the coalition. While Obama administration is saying that it will oppose Turkish offensive, I don't see instruments the way how they're going to do this.
Yeah, exactly. What are they going to do, bomb Turkey? And they try to pull off a coup, supposedly, last month, and we see how successful that was. So right now, we're going to thank all of our guests for participating, beginning with their in-studio guest, Mr. Alexei Voskresensky. He's dean at the School of Political Affairs at MGIMO University and editor-in-chief of Comparative Politics magazine. And we also spoke briefly to Mr. Ala Ibrahim, a Syrian journalist from Damascus.